Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am deeply grateful you chose to be with me on this June 27th day, 2021. And we're going to be looking at people who need people. Get a lot of questions about people trying to find the right person to love, that kind of thing. And sometimes it gets rather hectic here when you start looking at what it means to have a relationship. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, more draining in our life than that of relationships. Nothing is more draining. There are four unique forms of love according to the Greeks. There is the eros, which is romantic love. The storge, which is the family love. There is philia, which is the brotherly love. And then there is agape, which is God or divine love, according to them. I don't buy any of that. There is just love. And if you have to categorize it, it's because the human being does this. Human beings are bipolar in so many ways and depressing. We look at things from the sense of categories, and we parson out our love through romantic love, family love, brotherly love, and God's love, supposedly. And this keeps us very occupied in and throughout our whole life. We just live off of the tangents of our emotionality. We never really look very deep into love itself. And if you're really interested in a lot of this, I explain a great deal of it in my TV series, Nobody Likes You Anyway. And if you look deep into that program and the discourses that are there for you, you will find that this love that we have is parsoned out and sectioned out and diagnosed and all sorts of things to kind of put it in categories that make sense to our ego and not to the soul of us, to begin the process of awakening to our souls. That is what real enlightenment is. It's awakening to the soul, but that can only be done through love. So if you look at love the way most people do, as romantic love, storge, which is the family love, it comes from eros. You find a mate, you make children, and then you have your brotherly love, the philia, and the agape. It's ridiculous the way we have laid it all out. And the Greeks were very, very wise people, very smart people. And here we are parsoning out this love. So I get a lot of questions about relationships and love and all that other stuff. And sometimes I feel like a Dear Abby here. And I try not to get too involved in that. I have a couple of comments on that, a couple of phrases I use in relationship. How do you want this all to work out? What is the end when people are having a fight? How do you want this to work out? That kind of thing. And what do I put you through in order to love me? Those are probably two of the strongest I've offered over the years, and people ignore them. You know, I don't care. So I am going to give to you not the eros, storge, philia, and agape thing. I'm going to try to help these three people who have emailed me. Thomas is the first one. He asks, people need people. Talk about friendship and the need for it, Thomas. Thomas, people don't need people. Okay, I just have worn out on that subject with human beings. It's just ridiculous to think I need you and you're supposed to be there to, you know, give me what I can't or won't give myself. I need you. Really? You need me? really? And of course, women and men look to each other in the, shall we say, the romantic end of it, to find out if they need the other person. She will do all sorts of lovely things in the beginning, and so will he, bring her flowers and tell her how wonderful she is, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, it gets down to bare living, knuckle dragging, as I call it. And the next thing you know, these people, they hate each other. In the end, they just don't want to be around each other. They argue, they fight. This love that we are talking about here, in the four aspects of it, really don't hold up. So you're asking me, people need people, okay? Talk about friendship. Friendship is a wonderful thing, and it is not separate from any other love. I want you to understand that. It's not. There is only one love. And it is the love that cannot be explained. It's inexplicable. And if I love my dog, my precious Autumn, I will love you. There's no difference. If I only love Autumn because I think she's cute or I think she's sweet or whatever, and sweet meaning she loves me, that kind of thing, loves my skin and loves it because I feed her and I treat her and I pet her and I groom her and all those things you do. If I think that, you know, she loves me back like a human being would love me, then she only loves me out of biology and need. You have to transcend all of that. I have worked 50 years in counseling with people, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that, Thomas, people who need people are miserable, even if they think they have found the right person, you know, that special person that they're going to live with for the rest of their life, and it's going to be, you know, hearts and flowers all the time. It isn't. The whole idea of going out and finding a mate, to me, looks ridiculous. I did it. I did it too in my 20s and 30s. I understand all of this. It's a biological thing inside of us. But now when you look at it in retrospect, when any of us look at it in retrospect, if the only love that is possible for us is through someone else, what have we done to ourselves? What has happened to us? What you're going to find fallacies and foibles and problems and situations in loving another person. There's always that bias that's hidden from you, that pain, that sorrow, that tragedy that they had in childhood, things that they hide from themselves as well as hide from others. And then the next thing you know, after you've gone from the Eros to the Storge, which is the family love, you begin to realize this person that I love can't love. There are rules and regulations and situations that occur where this love can be tainted and pushed and shoved into hate and fear. So do you need this moronic, moody kind of love, Thomas? Do you? And friendship you talk about here? I think friendship is one of the most important elements of life, maybe the most authentic in the human experience. Because in true friendship, it isn't that I need you. It is something other than need. It's a harmony between people. But that harmony is still human. And that harmony is, well, prejudice. Very prejudice. If my prejudices meet your prejudices, then we're in harmony, we think. Really, what we are is in accord. We agree with each other politically, socially, maybe even religiously. And that's as far as it goes. That's all human stuff. That human stuff is what causes all the problems in the course of a lifetime. It's that human stuff that makes me small-minded. It's that human stuff that sticks me to my emotionality and makes me live emotional. I don't see the bigger picture. I'm only grabbing on to someone because I don't want to be alone with myself. So friendship is about moaning over difficulties in our life. Friendship is about supporting each other in our humanness, in our vile humanness that undermines our spirituality, that undermines our love, our authentic love. If you allow the human to taint love in you, you're going to miss the whole beautiful experience that love authentically is. To pass love through the human body is merely to pass on obsession, compulsion, and instinct, and try to rationalize it in a way where we say to each other, you have to survive, I have to survive, maybe we can help each other survive. And that's really just about all it is based in survival. There is no transcendence in that. So if you need to go out, Thomas, and need friendships, I have friendships. I do. I have the boys who take care of me and help me with the meditations. We've known each other since Pune, and we're very good friends, but we don't need each other. We have something in common that is greater than our need for each other, our human need. It's that we transcend. We have total devotion to transcendence. And that's all that matters. We relate to each other via our authentic heart, our soul. We don't relate to each other with emotion and passion and logic and reasoning and mental acuity. We don't go there with that. We keep it strictly on that other scale, which I find tremendously renewing. So, you know, what can I say, Thomas? Everybody has to go through what they have to go through in the course of their lifetime. And if you have to have friendships that are based in the brotherly love, you know what I mean? And you have to go through all that brotherly love, the philia aspect of it all, then that's nothing wrong with that. You need to do that. So do it. I like what Lhotse said, wear out and become new. So if you have to wear out with the romantic love, the family love, the brotherly love, and even the thought of some kind of religious God, divine love, then so be it. Let it happen. Do what you need to do. Wear out. Let it just gnaw on you. And then eventually, either in this lifetime or another, something will change. What it will be, I have no idea. I can't tell you how it will happen because everybody's, you know, different. Thomas, thank you for your beautiful question, and thank you for your kind comments about Aspire. And please forgive me. Namaste. Next one is Paul, and he lives in Los Angeles. He says, I need people. Is that so wrong? But the problem is, he says here, that they can't be depended upon, Paul. No, they can't. You're learning, Paul. I find people more now than ever very disappointing in the sense of my humanness. I don't expect people to be what they are. I don't. I have these fallacies and these fantasies that we all rise together in compassion and love. It's all Greg Penn BS. So, you know, I know my fantasies, and that's my big one. But when you really get involved with people, you realize you're being involved with a human being that has a lot of problems, a lot of misgivings, a lot of doubt, a lot of fear, a lot of selfishness. And it is selfishness that makes it so difficult. We want people to be what we want them to be. Long ago, I gave that up. Long time ago. Wanting people to be what I wanted them to be, which was awake, alert, kind, compassionate, forgiving of me? No, you don't get that in this world. You don't get it at all. You don't get it from your friends, your family, your colleagues. You don't get it because they don't have it to give. They don't see that bigger picture and what it means to be in that bigger picture. If you need people, you will never, ever find your love, that deep love that lives within you as the source of your life. People will tell you you have to self-love. And again, the human cannot love the human. There's too many frailties, too many expectations, ideals, beliefs of what, you know, a person should be in order to, quote, unquote, deserve love. And love is never deserved. Love simply is like the air. The air is there, and it is there to breathe, and everyone has access to it. But what we try to do is we try to make it a commodity. So if you want this love of mine and my friendship or my adoration or whatever, you're going to have to deserve it. You have to earn it. You have to do all those things. You have to jump through hoops. So what can I say? One of the greatest little, truths that I have ever read is the one that the wise man, the one who really truly loves, carries his enemy. He is willing to carry his enemy on his back. I find that deeply moving. To help people, to love your enemy. You know, even Jesus talked about that. Buddha talked about it. It's all about what our emotions won't do, can't do, refuse to acknowledge. If you leave love to emotion, it will turn to rot. It's like rotten fruit. It will turn. First, it's very sweet and it's easy to get and yada, 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 especially when you're young and your form is different. And, you know, people love you because you look good or you look a certain way that's appealing to their Eros love, their sexual love. But as you get older and you start to dry up like an old piece of fruit, you start to realize that people don't want anything to do with you based on the bias of their instincts, their sexual instincts. A lot of things run around in sexuality. A lot of misnomers about not only love, but about what is truth. So you start looking at all of this and you say, I need people, is that wrong? I'm not going to say it's wrong, but it certainly isn't going to bring you to love. Now, it may bring you to certain forms of love, you know, the romantic, family, brotherly, you know, idealistic, divine, God love. But those aren't real loves. Those are passages that you and I must move through. And we must see their futility. That's the whole key. Until I realize my own futility in the way I have loved, as Buddha said, see how you love and what keeps you from the journey. If I'm doing any one of these four, the romantic, family, brotherly, and idealistic God love, then I'm in deep trouble because those things pass through the human and are infected by the human. And then before you know it, that infection becomes the only thing you might be willing to know in the course of your lifetime. No one ever questions their love. No one has ever come to me as a student and said, I'm questioning the way I love. I am questioning what love is to me, what I have made of love, what I have done to love. No one ever comes to me and says that, which is the very key to being an authentic student, an authentic person even. See how you love and what keeps you from the journey. Buddha said it best. So what are you going to do? Continue on in the fallacy and the fantasy of what you think love is and apply that to other people? And when you apply it to them, if they don't measure up, then you don't love them anymore. I don't love that person. I hate them or whatever. Have you ever watched your supposed great love turn to hate? Well, nothing will do that faster than marriage. Nothing will do that faster. I mean, people make accommodations for one another because of family and because they don't want to be alone. And the truth of the matter is they're afraid to be alone. So yada, yada, this goes on and on, this fallacy. I'm not going to say that your need for people is wrong. It's a part of your, well, a part of your life experience, and you have to go through it. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be quite a journey, very rocky, and I can guarantee you very difficult unless you are willing to awaken to yourself and to see how you love and what you put people through in order to love you. Until you see that, it's going to be a rocky trip. Thank you, Paul. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last one comes from Casey, and he lives in Washington. He says, I want more friends. And then he laughs. He said, there's so much baggage. And then he goes into his own baggage. Casey, you have the right idea. Examine yourself, not others, for the quality of love. Examine yourself. Take a deep look. You're right. Everything you said in your email is correct. Yes, examine how I love, what my love is, what it consists of, what the rules of engagement are with engaging with someone like Casey or Greg or anybody. What do they have to do? What tests do they have to pass before they can be my friend, my lover, my brotherly friend, my God? What kind of God do you have? How do you know your God is a God of love? Huh? How do you know? You've created this God in your own mind, in your own image and likeness. You've pretended that God is something you can think and rationalize and theorize. Same thing with brotherly love, family love, romantic love, all of that stuff. It's all about human urge. It's all about DNA and genetics and how we live in our DNA and genetics that brings us to a place in our life where there is nothing but misunderstanding. Everything in this life is evolving, changing. We live in a kaleidoscope of life, of love. And most of us don't appreciate the colors in that kaleidoscope and what it's all about because we're so busy with our own human needs, trying to guard our needs or fulfill them, find some sort of social, economic security, being that of never being alone. We can't be alone with ourselves. That's the true test of love. Can you be alone with you? Can you let love live you? I had a student years ago. I loved her dearly. Sally was a wonderful person. And she would say to her family, you have to let love live you. And they would all just look at her and roll their eyes thinking that, you know, being associated with Greg Penn has made her crazy. But her last words to me were, I love you. And I know what she meant. Words do not convey the depth of a person's love or the meaning of it. It just doesn't. Words don't mean anything. It is that bond between two people that's invoked through consciousness, through compassion, through forgiveness, a lifetime of living those things. And that is the true meaning of love and not the other four, which are very, very, to say the least, shallow. If you want to ruin love, just give it to your human. If you want to accelerate love, ascend into it through compassion, forgiveness. I just gave you that as a brief overhaul here. Thank you for listening. I gotta go. I'm late. Please forgive me, y'all. Namaste.